What's good, everybody, and welcome back to Walking on Water. This is Dambuzo. I'm flying solo for today. I'm missing my wing woman, Ayanda. But we're going to get right into it, talking a little bit about the year that was 2020, man. Whew, what a year that was. And I know for myself, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, one of the things that I was thinking about towards the end of last year, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying, dude, I am more than happy just to close the page on this year and to move on to whatever is coming up ahead in 2021. And one of the things I remember that he said to me was, don't be so quick to write off the year and don't be so quick to dismiss the year, because you never know, dude. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that we all of us, I think, went through, be it the loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, all of that stuff that we went through, but also the many, many lessons that we learned in the midst of the pandemic, learned about ourselves, learned about the people around us. There's so much, I think, that's in there, apart from the loss, apart from the distress, that is worthwhile, I think, leaning on and learning from. And so rather than just discarding the year and just kind of chucking it, why not look back on it and just simply say, what have I actually learned from this year about myself and about the world around me? And so I thought, yeah, man, that actually might be a good thing to do, right? Like, instead of just forgetting the year past and just kind of like wanting to obliterate it and just to put it away and just simply say we went from 2019 to 2021, instead of kind of going that route, that might it not be more useful and more helpful for us? And especially, again, also because we're also on this podcast, we're very big on history and very big on learning, even from the dark periods of our lives, right? And for even from the dark periods of the history of our nations, as much as we're willing to learn from some of those periods and to grow from them, why not do the same thing about 2020, right? So as we look at 2020, do a bit of a retrospective on it, think about some of the stuff that we learned about ourselves, about our fellow countrymen, all those different things. Yeah, man, let's just launch into it and see what it is we learned from 2020 and what that means for us then moving forward into 2021, right? So let's go for it. Let's do it. One of the things that I think the pandemic revealed was, I think it showed up something about our national character a little bit. I think it did that. So, I mean, we always knew that some people are committed to Project South Africa, right? And people showed up. And this was really, really encouraging and inspiring, I think, to watch. So, I mean, across civil society, you witnessed this, right? With people activating networks, those community action networks. I think they started up here in the Western Cape and they spread to the rest of the country. But networks where people were very deliberately trying to find opportunities to serve their neighbors, right? I mean, that was really, really dope to see people stepping up and saying, okay, how can you provide groceries? How can you provide, again, opportunities for employment, clothing, and like all these different things I think that people needed, and people were stepping up to the plate and were more than willing to help other people, strangers even. And that was a remarkable thing, I think, to witness, about how our society, civil society, was able to come together and people were able to reach out across to their neighbors and to serve them and to minister to their needs in a time where people are under enormous pressure. And of course, it's easy to kind of turn inward and to focus on yourself. So that was really, really remarkable to witness that. And of course, in the same breath as we say that, we also can't run away from the fact that there were others who were not willing to go that far, were not even willing, I think, to do the basic minimum of sticking to the rules and standing in the gap for other people, right? I mean, there were those other people, and I think we spoke about that too. I mean, some people who Didn't even want to wear masks, man. Couldn't even be bothered about that.
Story, you wouldn't think we'd have to talk about this, but we do. One in three South African adults are not wearing a mask when they leave home.
Yep, that's according to a COVID-19 democracy survey. It was conducted by the University of Johannesburg and the Human Sciences Research Council, amongst others. And despite scientific evidence showing wearing a face mask in public is one of the most effective measures to curb the spread of the virus.
There were people who were more than willing to be like, yeah, I'm not buying into this nonsense. I'm not going to be social distancing. I'm going to have parties. I'm not going to wear a mask or whatever. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. And so there were others, again, who in this situation was like, hey, man, we're all trying to pull together to do the best that we can. Other people were like, nah, man, I couldn't be bothered with that. So that was also the reality of our landscape here in South Africa, right? And also we saw this happening across the world too, right? Some people not wanting to mask up. In the US, I know people were up in arms. Some people were up in arms about that, literally up in arms about not wanting to wear masks and wanting to go get haircuts, which is just absolute craziness. But again, we saw that, right? That was part of it. Another part of it that also was a very real aspect of having to deal with 2020 and the pandemic and everything else was, oh my gosh, the conspiracy theories that were floating around, from microchips under our skin to this is just a hoax because people want to institute their global domination agenda. Dude, the most random things that you come across. And again, this is like people from across the spectrum. I remember the one time I was at the Zimbabwean consulate in town and I was trying to sort out my stuff and my passport and whatnot. And I remember being there and with a couple of people, I was wearing my mask. Other people were wearing masks, some people were not wearing masks. But I remember just hearing people talking about how, oh no, this is just a hoax. This is stuff that they're just making up just simply because they want to control us or whatever. I'm like, but you do know this is a global thing, right? Like, this is not just a South African thing that's happening here in South Africa. Everywhere we are under lockdown, everywhere, you know, people are wearing masks and whatever. It's not just a South African thing. So why would the South African government be making this up? Like, who's this boogeyman who's trying to set us up? But so this stuff was everywhere, right? So conspiracy theories were pretty much everywhere you could come across. And that's one of those things where we're going to have to continue to deal with that, especially now as we come to the time where the vaccines are coming out and now conspiracy theories are floating around about that, which is also a whole other issue all on its own. Right. One of the other interesting things that I know I learned for myself in 2020 was, and I think this is a valuable thing, I think moving forward too, the truth that I think we need to embrace that competence in one area doesn't translate or mean competence in other areas too. Right. So, I mean, so just because, and this also maybe ties into some of the conspiracy theories too. Right. So, I mean, so just because someone is called Dr. So-and-so, dude, that doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about regarding public health measures. And this also happened like late last year as well with our Chief Justice as well. And, you know, with all humility, I mean, I used to practice law, so more than enough respect, I guess, for the guys who do that work. But with the Chief Justice, some of the stuff that he was saying about the vaccines and 666 and all that stuff.
Whatever phase is said to be coming, Lord, I judge it, I run it down in the name of Jesus. I lock out every demon of COVID-19. I lock out any vaccine that is not of you. If there be any vaccine that is of the devil, meant to infuse 666 in the lives of people, meant to corrupt their DNA, any such vaccine, Lord God Almighty, may it be destroyed by fire. In the name of Jesus.
It's like, yeah, man, I mean, just because someone is called Chief Justice and you're an expert in the law, that doesn't necessarily mean that you know what you're talking about regarding epidemiology or theology, right? And so I think that's one of those things. I think it's a valuable lesson, I think, to learn, to be able to parse stuff, right? To be discerning about who's saying what, where they're coming from, what expertise do they have as they say what they're saying. Because I think sometimes you can get enamored by titles, Chief Justice so-and-so, Doctor so-and-so, without doing like the deeper work of like, but okay, what area are you actually competent in? And can you be speaking to us about viruses right now? I think it's a key thing that we need to kind of hold on to as we move into 2021, as we move into this new season of vaccines and this new season of, like, of course, the ongoing public health measures that have to keep happening. So I think it's a call towards discernment, maybe not just around COVID, but around a whole bunch of other areas too, where we trust people and we have to really be discerning about who we're listening to and why, right? Because some of this stuff is life or death stuff if someone listens to the wrong person, right? So I think that's a challenge for us and something to keep an eye on, I think, as we move forward. So, I mean, there's all this stuff that are just swirling around, all the good stuff, the really good stuff that are swirling around, but also some of the negative stuff too that are swirling around as well. On the negative side of the balance sheet, again, gosh, think about the PPE corruption.
My fellow South Africans, earlier this year, the president announced a 20 billion rand healthcare response fund and then promised us that government officials would be on their best behavior.
We are also committed to make sure that the funds that are dedicated to our coronavirus response are not wasted and that they are not stolen.
A few moments later,
we will take steps to recover all funds that have been stolen.
The South African Police Service members who were tasked to investigate PPE corruption are themselves allegedly involved.
You know, people are going hungry, people are out of jobs, and some decide that they want to line their pockets, which, I mean, that's just whack. Like, that's just, we're at our lowest as a country and people are stealing PPE money. They're using the opportunity to enrich themselves. There's that. And then also, not to mention the reality of, again, while we're dealing with this pandemic and we have to shelter in place, that for many of us, for many women, for many children, home was definitely not a safe space. I mean, we saw those huge spikes in numbers when it came to gender-based violence during the pandemic. And I think that also just exacerbated, I think, just, again, people are trying to find places of safety, little oases of safety, and home isn't that for many people. So I think it's one of those things where for many of us who have the blessing of calling home a safe space, I think it opened up our eyes to realize the reality that for many, many people across this country, home is not a safe space. And that being able to leave home and be at the local community center or being at the church and the program they have there after school, that's actually a safer space for people than it is being home. So I think it hopefully opens up our eyes, I think, to see that some of those spaces need to remain open and they need to be funded and they need to be supported. So I know, like, here in Cape Town, we've got, like, something that's run by, that's headed by one of our friends, Beautiful Gate. I mean, spaces like that where kids can go and they can feel safe and they can have after-school programs that take care of them. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I think that as we hopefully exit this COVID season, we can be investing more into some of those spaces and just hopefully creating more safe spaces for people that do not find their home space or spaces with their intimate partners or people that supposedly should love them, that find them unsafe. So that's one of those things which I think, yeah, sure. 2020, I think, has been a stark reminder, I think, of some of those realities that, again, my life and the lives of other people, that sometimes they're very, very different. And what I consider safe is actually unsafe for someone else. It was a deep, deep exercise, I think, in hopefully developing empathy and seeing more broadly, I guess, what's happening out there in the country. And hopefully we can stand up against it more and more, right? I mean, this so-called hidden pandemic of gender-based violence, that's something that we need to keep combating. And I think it just got brought to the fore even more now during these last couple of months as well. But that's, yeah, something we need to keep fighting, something we need to keep pushing against. So on other things as well that we learned within 2020, and there's a lot. We turn to the US, right? And of course, the US links up again a little bit to what's happening here. So the resurgence of Black Lives Matter after the murder of George Floyd and, of course, Breonna Taylor and other people as well. So that also sprung up again, and that took our attention. And of course, that also raised issues and questions about our own ongoing policing problems in South Africa, right?
Anger boils over in El Dorado Park after the death of 16-year-old Nathaniel Julius. A police officer allegedly shot the teenager with Down syndrome on Wednesday, and he died later in hospital. Protesters who fought running battles with police say it's just the latest example of police brutality in the community south of Johannesburg.
Like, especially like during the lockdown, how the police were clamping down and how they enforced the lockdown was extremely brutal. But all of that, I think it just went on to continue to highlight how far we still have to go to achieve equality. But it also, I think it also unearthed the reality that we are nowhere near being on the same page with one another. And we, all of us as a society, we seem to be reading very different history books. Because while people are, you know, marching, Black Lives Matter, all of that, you've got the All Lives Matter crowd that are also pushing what they're pushing. And this is in 2020, right? You'd think. But again, thinking about our local scene, right? From the issues with Senegal, remember that? That happened, farm murders, all of that. That all came up. And of course, the ongoing conversation that has to continue happening about farm murders within the broader context of violent crime within South Africa as well. I mean, it's clear from some of those realities, from there was some meeting of the minds, but I think there still is enough of a disjunct amongst us to show that the deep divisions still exist, and that we don't, like here in South Africa, we don't really have a national vocabulary to address those differences without descending into racial epithets, without descending into calling one another names or anything. So we don't really have a national vocabulary to talk about farm murders in a way that doesn't, you know, lean into the whole white genocide thing, or that doesn't totally dismiss them either, but that talks about them within this broader context of just the violence, I guess, that just exists and that is woven very closely into the fabric of this society. But we don't really have the vocabulary, or the vocabulary that is emotionally mature to have some of those conversations and to keep talking about them in a way that is meaningful for everybody, and that addresses our various needs. We are in a very, very challenging situation, and that's not necessarily going to go away, right? Because if you stop and think about it, with COVID going on and with unemployment statistics, like the numbers are still climbing as more people get more and more unemployed, at least the unemployment side of crime, or, you know, the crime that is inflated or that growth goes up because of unemployment, that's only going to keep going up further and further. And so violent crime and crime as a whole is not necessarily going to go down. And so these are questions and issues we're going to have to tackle and deal with as we move forward into 2021, right? Like, it's not going to go away just because we've turned over the new calendar. So we desperately need to come up with that national vocabulary that allows us to talk through these highly, highly emotive and highly, highly racialized questions in a way that is actually productive, and in a way that sees that justice is done, and in a way that is equal and that is fair. Because I think some of what we saw, and I think some of the comparisons people were making when some of those guys were pushing over that police truck in Senegal, and the police response to that was very, very minimal compared to the police response to, say, Marikana, for example. I mean, I know people were making some of those comparisons, like, look at the naked display of police brutality on the one hand, and then look at the police kind of like standing there limply doing nothing on the other. So, I mean, all those are things I think that we need to really be able to delve into and to point out the inequality, the inequities that exist there, but in a way that is actually going to be constructive and productive. And so that's, again, stuff that also, again, came up in 2020 that, sure, it's going to demand, I think, some of our, demand our attention as we go forward. The other thing also that came up in 2020 was, again, just the reality that the emperor has no clothes, right? This is the other thing. So I think for most of us, I know for myself too, the being stuck at home and all of that, But I think for most of us, the 2020 US election probably took up a little bit more of our attention than it should have done. But nonetheless, it took up our headspace, right? But I think the thing in that, though, is that, yeah, man, game recognized game, right? And I think people made comments about this, talking about how Africans know what they saw. We know what was happening when we saw what Donald Trump and the Republicans were doing in supporting this narrative about the stolen elections.
In a stunning display from a sitting president, Donald Trump launching an assault on the integrity of the election, unleashing a barrage of false claims of fraud and corruption without evidence.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us.
Like we've seen this narrative play out before, when people lose and they don't necessarily want to give up power, so they come up with this narrative. I mean, thankfully their institutions were able to withstand the assault that was leveled against them. But it raised, I think, and it continues to raise very interesting questions, I think, for them. For me, I think as a Christian, the conversation that I want to have more specifically isn't necessarily about American democracy and about American institutions, as much as it is I want to have conversations with white American evangelicals about why they continued to support Trump and how they justified that support as well. I think there's conversations that have to happen there, because a good number of the stuff that we came across prior to the election justifying why, you know, they need to vote that way, vote towards Trump and not towards the other guy, it raised a lot of very interesting questions about American evangelical or white evangelical understanding of government and religion and all of those, you know, the interconnected facets of those things. It raised a lot of interesting questions there, but also a lot of interesting questions about the things that people were willing to say under Obama, but then they changed tack under this new guy. And you're like, well, what's going on there? Why is it that when the one guy is elected, it's somehow not God's will, but when another guy is elected, that somehow is God's will? Yeah, it's just interesting to see how religion gets deployed within politics, within the American space. And that's something which is not necessarily foreign here within South Africa either. It just takes on a very different color. So that's something worth talking about. And I want to hear from any white American evangelicals, if you listen in, because I know we've got some listeners from the U.S., to chime in and be like, what's going on there in America, man? Because this is something very curious to me, how that support was justified, theologically and otherwise, that this is a good guy to vote in. I don't get it. I honestly don't, to be honest. So that's that. And maybe for me, maybe the last thing that I think I picked up on as I reflect back on 2020 has to do with church, I think. So for me, and for maybe for any of you who go to church, right, who or as part of your faith tradition, you go and are part of a faith community that meets regularly, and you spend time together and you read your scriptures and you spend time praying and sharing food or whatever it is you do. I think for me, going through the lockdown and having to do everything online, for me, doing disembodied church just wasn't fun. That wasn't cool at all. Something was very definitely lacking from that experience. What I sort of wonder moving into 2021 as we move ahead is whether or not churches are going to start rethinking what we do together in person. You know, because things like singing together and hearing a sermon, I mean, those things are great, and I think those things are integral to the experience of doing church together, of doing community together. But in one sense, they can be done remotely. You can listen to a song remotely. You can hear somebody preaching remotely. But some of those other things that you can't do remotely, those things that really emphasize our embodiedness, you know, things like shaking hands, that whole greeting one another with a holy kiss thing that we laugh about oftentimes from Paul's letters, and eating together as well, right? I mean, these are all things that require our physical presence in the room for us to be able to encounter and to enjoy that aspect of the experience, right? The seeing, the touching, the feeling, the eating, like all of those different things are part of our embodiedness. being able to hold somebody else and hug them. I mean, these are all part of, I think, of that experience, right? And I think I felt so deprived, I think, of the, I think, what the worship experience can be in its fullness by not being able to participate in some of those things. So I wonder whether or not, as churches think, you know, 2021 moving forward, whether there needs to be a bit of rethinking around our embodiedness and reprioritizing it, right? Because perhaps at some point in time, we were being treated as just, you know, bums in seats and wallets to give the tithe. But there's so much more, I think, that is meant to be centered, I think, within the church experience, within that communal experience. Because, I mean, if somebody comes into the church and they're hungry, but then you just preach at them and then you sing and then you go home, there's a deep aspect of their embodiedness, of their humanness, which has not been met. You've met a spiritual need, but you haven't met a physical, like, bodily need. Or if someone comes into the space tired. So I just sort of wonder what 2021 is going to bring about in terms of, like, a rethinking going forward regarding our embodiedness and how we can honor that more within the church space. Because I think so much of what church was prior to the pandemic was very much, I think, just geared to, I think, primarily to our heads and to our hearts, and not necessarily to our bodies. And so I wonder if a rethink isn't in order for us to actually start moving towards a more embodied way of doing church in ways that you really can't replicate, like, online via a computer, right? And I think that's something which is absolutely precious, or something which is absolutely special. So I wonder whether or not that's also gonna happen within our church spaces. I mean, as we think about our faith within this new space that we find ourselves in, I wonder whether we're gonna be challenged to also be more physically present, to be more embodied even in our own practice of our faith as well. So instead of being separate from others, you know, like being more than happy to do a simple EFT to someone to help them, what about the embodiedness of being physically present with that person, to actually physically clothe someone, to actually physically feed someone, to actually physically hold someone and comfort them? I wonder whether or not some of those things are in our minds and are kind of like pushing us and challenging us as we think about what it means for us to be the church and to do church. But the 2021 is going to be different as a result of what we went through in 2020. I don't know. Anyway, these are some of my thoughts that I've just been having as I've been reflecting back on the year that was 2020. And as I think ahead to this year, 2021, and all that there is in store in it. And I'm just trying to honor, I think, the year that has gone past, and to mourn the losses and to reflect on the many things, I think, that I've learned in the midst of those losses as well. Well, that's it from me. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and to listen to what I had to say. And tell me, though, how are you doing, though? How was your 2020? How's your 2021 shaping up so far? And what are you anticipating the most for 2021? So if you want to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram, and you can connect with us via email. Also, did you know that you can actually leave us voice messages? So if you go to anchor.fm/walkingonwater, there's this button down at the very bottom that says voice messages. So you can actually send us voice messages if you want to connect with us that way. And we really want you guys to check in with us, to tell us how you're doing, to also let us know also, are there any particular topics that you might want us to tackle as we look into 2021? Because we already started putting together the episodes for this coming year. But let us know if there's something specific that you want us to look into, that you want us to discuss, that you want us to talk through. But we look forward to hearing from you. So yeah, keep in touch, connect with us. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Dambudzo. This is Walking on Water. Peace. Thank you.
bad days, I can see what's up. Gotta close my eyes and just pray about it. Most times when you hit me up, I know you want something, I feel a way about it. Married now, got the kid coming, got my mind spinning like a merry-go-round. Ears open to them old heads, when they come around, I speak very slow. I gotta double down on this, baby, we gon' have to budget down on that. It's been a long time, Sam Cooke, with a change coming, all facts. I can see the strange fruit, all black, Jane goes candy, yell freeze. See the bullet carrying the news, Billy Nye's blood on them leaves. Hold up, look, I cannot anticipate it, it's overrated. I am no longer a slave through the cross, I know mama, we made it. Congratulations, through his image, we are made it. The spirit is giving me patience, for all the races, privilege performing hating. This ignorance, I rise above, I slide them love, shine my light all in their face, and they cannot take it. Sophia Stewart, I escaped the matrix, escape like 95, who can I run to? The arms of the one who loves you, 98 is. I am the latest, I am your favorite right now in the sun, therefore I am a raisin. I am a raisin, raisin in the sun, Sydney Portier with it, check out the cadence. Woo!